Obama was repeatedly asked, would he say something about it? His answer was, there's only one president. I can't say anything about it. He was saying all sorts of other things, but not this.
We only have a few minutes, so I want to cut you off to get in a few more questions. Actually, one last question, if we have time, which is that you've written about what it would mean for Israel and the U.S. if this statehood bid is passed at the U.N. And, of course, this debate is coming up very soon, scheduled to take place at the General Assembly in the coming weeks. What would it mean if the U.N. passes statehood for the Palestinians?
Well, that's really up to us to decide. I mean, there could be a very harsh reaction on the part of the United States and Israel. The Congress, U.S. Congress, has already declared that it's going to cut off funding, wants to cut off funding to the Palestinian Authority. Israel controls much of their funds through control of customs, transfer of finance. They all go through Israel. They could cut it off. The Palestinians could be in very serious economic trouble, financial trouble, if the U.S. and Israel, acting jointly, react to any kind of statehood bid by simply cutting off the funding on which they rely. It's Israel for decades has prevented any independent development, serious economic development in the territories. There is, the numbers show economic growth that's highly reliant on outside aid, very artificial, and that could be a very serious blow to the Palestinians. The role that Egypt plays will also be significant, especially with regard to Gaza. My guess is that some kind of compromise position will be worked out, which will provide enhanced observer status to the Palestinians at the United Nations, maybe short of what would trigger U.S. and Israel from simply pulling out the rug from under their survival.
No, we have to leave it there. We have to leave it there for the global show, but we're going to continue, and people can go to our website for a web exclusive at democracynow.org. Noam Chomsky, Professor Emeritus at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. His latest book is 9/11, Was There an Alternative? You can go to our website for our other web exclusive, 9/11 Decade, that showcases our vast archive of in-depth reporting over the last decade. We also have a job opening, audio-visual archive. For more information, go to democracynow.org, where the show is available as well. I'm Amy Goodman with Aaron Mate. Thanks for joining us. Democracy Now! Is a listener-supported grassroots global news hour. You make it possible when you donate at democracynow.org. Thank you so much.
Hi, I'm Bob Lubman with your WUSB Concert Billboard for Monday, September 12th. Peter Bjorn and John will be at the Brooklyn Bowl in Brooklyn, New York at 9 p.m. Das Racist with Danny Brown and Despot will be at the Bowery Ballroom in New York at 8 p.m. Yoko Ono's Imagine Peace featuring John and Yoko's Year of Peace will be featured at the Stoller Center for the Arts University Art Gallery at the Stony Brook University between 12 and 4. That will continue until October 15th. Your concert billboard for Tuesday, September 13th. Erasure will be at Terminal 5 in Manhattan at 8 p.m. Cut and Copy, Washed Out, and Midnight Magic will be at the Wellmont Theater in Montclair, New Jersey at 8 p.m. Elliot Yamin and Mikey Wax will be at the Mercury Lounge in Manhattan at 7 p.m. On Your Radar series, hosted by John Platt, will feature Mary Lee Cortes, PJ Pacifico, and Illy Amy at the Living Room in Manhattan at 7 p.m. And Randy Brecker, Mike Stern, and Dave Weckl will be featured all week at the Blue Note in Manhattan at 8 p.m. and 10:30 p.m.
This has been today's Concert Billboard. Tune in each day to hear when your favorite performers are appearing at venues in the WUSB broadcast area. The online version of the Concert Billboard at WUSB.fm has an upcoming schedule months ahead. Look for the WUSB Concert Billboard group on Facebook. Concert Billboard is a service of WUSB Stony Brook, 90.1 FM.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB Stony Brook. The time is 2 minutes after 6 o'clock. Time for Off the Wall. Good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you, joined by Kyle.
Hi.
And here we are again on another Tuesday night here in Stony Brook, where summer is coming to a close.
Yes, school is back in session.
School is back in session here at Stony Brook and the public schools.
Absolutely.
I think just about everybody is back now.
Yes.
I don't think there's anyone left. New York City, they go back late, the end of September, but...
Some colleges back where I'm from, they start like more towards the end of September.
But, really? Some start in August, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, when I was in college, when I was just starting out, a freshman started, you had to be there the first week of, or last week of August.
It's amazing. But then you get out in May instead of June, which I always thought was cool. Because in public school, you get out in June, but in college, all of a sudden, you're out in mid-May, and it's like you have a whole extra month. Mm-hmm. And it's a good time of year, too. But regardless, so that's what's happening around here, that kind of activity. Let's see, what's been going on with us? We did something yesterday that was kind of sad. We went to the local Borders.
I don't know if we can talk about this.
Well, it is sad. We went to the local Borders. As you may know, Borders is a nationwide book chain, actually probably an international book chain, that's going out of business. These huge signs saying going out of business. Why? Well, you could blame the internet, you can blame Amazon, you could blame their own business practices. They were moving all kinds of non-book products in and confusing people and just kind of losing their way, in my opinion. I remember when that place opened, the Stony Brook Borders. It was a big deal. You walk in, a big bookstore, all kinds of people reading, and it was, it was also sad in a way because it was a chain bookstore, and it drove all the independent bookstores out of business because everybody went to the big chain. And now the big chain is out of business, and the local stores are out of business as well. True, we have a Barnes & Noble just across the street, but who knows what the future of that kind of a store is going to be. I'm afraid that we're moving into a society where we don't prize the printed the printed word as much as the digital word. And, well, you may say, okay, you know, you publish a magazine, so of course you're going to feel that way. No, it goes beyond that. It goes into days spent in libraries and a family collection of books that spans centuries, really.
Well, how about just reading?
Yeah, reading in general. People are reading all the time on the internet, but what are they reading? You know, they're reading blogs and Twitter posts and things like that. And, you know, it's certainly not, I mean, you can read the same words. You can read Gulliver's Travels on the internet, but I can't find anybody who will say it's the same as sitting in a chair reading an actual book. You know, you might get the same out of the work in question, but it's not, you don't have the smell of the paper, you don't have the sensation of turning the pages, and I think that's an inherent part of the whole thing.
I think that's, and
you can take it anywhere. You can take it anywhere, you don't have to worry about a battery running out. There's wonderful things that are coming out of the internet, obviously, but I'm just hesitant to completely abandon the old ways.
Well, and what about bookshelves and having a library in your home?
DVDs. People put DVDs on there now.
Yeah, and that's
going out of fashion now too. So I don't know what they're going to put on there when DVDs are gone.
That's kind of what I meant by reading in general, because there's all this video and multimedia that is wonderful on the one hand, but I don't know the amount of reading that goes on. Even in my personal life, I feel like making time for that is,
who has time? No one has time.
Right, and when you do, you really feel like you're getting in touch with something old.
Mm-hmm.
Just to sit. And to read, I mean, it's like a something from way back that you're tapping into, and I don't think that's good. It should feel normal. I mean, it's good to appreciate it, but I don't know. It's too strange, and I don't know. I should be more familiar with that feeling. I think a lot of people could relate.
I'd like to especially appeal to the younger listeners tonight when we take phone calls a little later on. Tell us if you've read a book recently. If you've read a book ever. I don't say that disparagingly. I imagine there are probably a lot of kids out there that have never had a reason to actually read an actual book and hold it in their hands. Why bother when you can read it on a digital device of some sort or on the internet or see a film version? I just wonder, are there people now? There are people that can't use a rotary phone. And, there's not really a good comparison there. There's no practical use for a rotary phone. It's good to know how they work, and we love the things.
I beg to differ.
Okay, go ahead, beg.
No, that was it.
Oh, that's the extent of your argument there, okay.
No, figure of speech. I mean, I beg to differ.
All right.
I think
usually that's followed by some kind of justification for the begging.
You can use a rotary phone to make a phone call.
Well, I know that. You can also call the operator and have her make a phone call, but we've moved on.
No, you can't call the operator.
You want me to call the operator right now and have her make a phone call?
Good
Actually,
luck.
You know what? Stony
Good
Brook.
Luck.
Stony Brook is kind of
blocked.
The show
is only an hour.
Yeah, it would be difficult. But you can, from a regular phone, from a regular non-restricted phone line, you can dial the operator and convince her. You might have to use some excuses, say that you've lost your arms or something like that. And of course, it'll be a while before she figures out, how did he call me? You can get them to do that. Tell them your 7 key is broken. And make sure the number you're calling has a 7 in it. And maybe they'll help you then. But the point is, a touch-tone phone makes sense. There's no real reason, no compelling reason to use a rotary phone other than nostalgia. Whereas books serve all kinds of purposes, nostalgia being one of them. But it's also, I can't really put it into words. It's the portability, it's the link, as you mentioned, to the past. And I think also, they just will last so much longer than any kind of digital format that we might have now. And to bolster this argument, find something on your computer that's 10 years old that you still have. You know, a program or a printed work of some sort. Something digital. People don't hold on to digital things that long. They're always upgrading and getting out of date. Whereas books date back centuries. You can find books from 500 years ago and they're still around. Go to the Strand in New York City. Go upstairs into that secret area and see just some of the things that have been around for so long and will be around long after all of us are gone. Can't really say the same thing about the Kindle version of whatever it is that work is. And that's something we just have to remember. You know, you digitize things fine, but formats are always changing, and letters on paper, not really going to change.
Indeed. Yeah, I think, yeah, absolutely. You could also, if you have overly sweaty hands, the pages sometimes fix that, you know, when you're turning pages and reading.
What's this again? The sweaty hands do what?
Yeah, I mean, if you're, you know, you want to dry out your skin a little bit, you know, the pages in a book will do that, but on a Kindle, I don't think so. It'd probably make your hands more clammy and whatnot.
Of all the thought and argument I put into this, in one move, you've trumped me, and
with
a much better
other
way.
You could
make sense now. Yeah, okay,
I get it. That way, okay.
That's what a book is invented for, obviously. I mean, people had sweaty hands back in the medieval era. So whatever, what other solution than to have books to relieve them?
Well, while you're reading something informative, you know.
Yeah, okay, do you want to just describe what it was like?
It was really sad. Borders is, all the furniture is being sold. There's nothing on the shelves.
Actually selling the furniture.
They had a leak in the ceiling, literally garbage cans dripping water from some
selling
fire.
The garbage cans.
I don't know.
You can buy the garbage cans.
Leaking, but
you can buy the garbage cans with the water in it, but you can't buy anything else, I don't think.
The Seattle's Best Coffee is closed, and all of the espresso machine, the dishwasher, all that stuff's for sale has been sold.
The reason the coffee place closed is because they have big signs up saying 80% off everything. And, of course, the first place people would go would be the coffee shop. And then they'd be in trouble. They'd be fine.
Right, because why would you need a book?
Yeah, some of the books are 90% off. And that's the other thing. You know, as a magazine publisher, think how that affects us, that a store all of a sudden can't handle its finances, has to go out of business, and sells everything for 90% off. Well, you know, we're the ones getting 50% of 10% now instead of 50% of 100%. And it's a trickle-down effect that something like this happens. In one fell swoop, we lose 10,000 readers because that's how many people got us through Borders, got 2600 magazine.
10,000 readers.
Yeah. So it's not good. It's not good for anybody. Of course, this hurts all publishers, hurts books and magazines alike. It's really sad.
So if people go there, there's not much there. There's not, the books are all mismatched, kind of. I mean, they're kind of in the same sections, but it's just really in disarray. And I don't know. Somebody should go and take some pictures there. It's pretty weird.
The thing that beeps when you steal something was beeping all the time when people were leaving the store, and nobody cared.
Yeah, I don't think they can demagnetize that or whatever anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe they sold that.
I was thinking of making an offer for that thing. And yeah. I was daring you to go and say, we're here for the cash register and see if we could unload that from them. But in another week, though, it's going to be gone completely. And
forever.
I don't think I've ever felt this way about a chain store. And in fact, there was an amazing article in yesterday's New York Times that focused on just that thing. Because yesterday, the first store that had ever opened in the Borders chain, the flagship store in Ann Arbor, shut down for the last time.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So there's a huge article about this, and it really it touched upon the magic of a bookstore and how it fell into decline. And it's very eye-opening.
I gotta say, it's also sort of extending out to other small businesses, and I think there's a larger issue here where people do things remotely. You know, you buy everything you need online or remotely, and all the information you need is there. Everything comes through a TV. You don't have a reason to go to these small shops, the specialty stores, the guy that'll sell you the batteries or chip in some parts for something for mm-hmm. free. We're losing a lot of that, and those people need to eat, and mm-hmm. they have livelihoods, and it's kind of like, I don't know, I don't want to go into it, but the whole Walmarting of America, where all these small businesses kind of get pushed out by corporations and the global economy and all of that. And I joke sometimes with smartphones, it's like, yeah, I have this wireless device that I can pay the bill for the wireless device, and that's what it's for. I pay the bill anywhere in the
yes.
world, and I can go there with the wireless device, and I can pay the bill so that I can have the wireless device to pay the bill.
Yeah, and most of the time when you're on your phone, I think you're trying to deal with the phone bill for that phone. You spend hours just staring, trying to figure it all out. Where did this charge come from? I have to call them now and talk to them and wait on hold. And
well, let's not get into that.
It's unreal sometimes. But yeah. Even if you don't do that, the amount of time people are fixating on these things, it's unhealthy. And as somebody who fixated on all kinds of technology and still does, even when you were in the midst of the hacker world, you knew there was more. You knew there was a world out there, and yes. It's good to step outside of it occasionally. I just see so many people under mass hypnosis now, and it bugs me. I wonder where it's going to go from here.
Yeah, I think I'd like to see young people that are refusing to get their driver's license or own a car. That's kind of a trend that I think people have talked about. Young people that are turning 16, they're just not getting cars because they don't need them or don't want them or can't afford them. Maybe that could apply to some of these sort of, invasive technologies. I mean, let's get back to real society and to other forms of communication, or at least just a good, healthy balance.
Yeah, yeah.
So
not always tweeting about what you're doing at the moment, but actually doing what you're doing at the moment.
Get out, ride your bike, ride around the neighborhood and support the small businesses around you. You don't have to stay inside and manage everything from a terminal. You got to get out. And I mean, part of the running errands or just living your life is the journey and the trip there. And that's, smelling the fresh air.